Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And we're thrilled that you're with us. If you're listening on 95.9 here in the Palm Beaches, we hope if you're driving home that you're being careful, paying attention while you're listening to us. And of course, if you're on the Treasure Coast, 106.9, the same applies to you. But in either event, we are thrilled that you are with us. Tonight, one of my all-time favorite people is here. She's been a guest many times. She is not only one of my favorite people, she is one of the smartest people you will ever meet about the subject we're going to talk about tonight. Dr. Karen Gilbert is here of Alzheimer's Community Care, and she's going to help us tonight look at Alzheimer's and other related dementias from a different perspective than perhaps you have ever looked at it before. We're going to bring an entirely new view of early diagnosis and why it is so very important, plus a whole lot more. We're going to talk about her conference. We're going to talk about Alzheimer's Community Care in general. I promise you tonight, stay with us. You will learn a whole bunch. And I'm going to tell you more about Karen and what we're here to talk about in just a few minutes. First, however, I want to tell everybody again, I mentioned it last week, next Monday at 2 o'clock, When All That's Left Is Love, a movie that is a sad but unfortunately very realistic look at end stages of dementia. And we're going to be looking at that at the Weissman Center at Ruth Rails on Atlantic Avenue in Delray. It's free. The producer and director are going to be there. I will be there. I will be hosting a panel discussion after that. I encourage you to come again, 2 o'clock, When All That's Left Is Love, at Weissman Center on Delray Beach on Atlantic Avenue. I encourage you to come. This is a big week for support groups as well. We have two for Alzheimer's and two for Parkinson's I want to tell you about. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock for Alzheimer's at Barrington Terrace in Boynton Beach. At noon tomorrow, it's a wonderful support group. I've been there myself a number of times. It's well attended. A lot of spirited conversation. Don't miss it. Tuesday, 12 o'clock at Barrington Terrace. If you can't make that, but you still want to talk about what's going in your life and dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's, Artist Senior Living, Wednesday at 4 o'clock, a support group, and I encourage you to go for that. If you or a loved one is struggling with Parkinson's, and you want to talk a little bit about that, Thursday at Abbey Del Rey in Del Rey at 11 o'clock. That's a new support group getting off the ground. I encourage you to go to that. And tomorrow at Palm Beach Neuroscience in West Palm Beach, a Parkinson's support group open to both you if you're a family member or if you're struggling. It's available to everybody at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Palm Beach Neuroscience in West Palm Beach. Also tomorrow, I'm sure it's too late to get tickets, but no excuse for abuse luncheon at Kravis Center. It's a wonderful event. If there are still tickets available, call Alper Jewish Family in the morning and see if there are any tickets available. No excuse for abuse lunch. It's a wonderful lunch. It's very informative. And there is, of course, no excuse for abuse. Now to my guest, Dr. Karen Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert serves as Vice President of Education and Quality Assurance for Alzheimer's Community Care. She earned her Doctor of Nursing Practice degree from Palm Beach Atlantic University. She received her Bachelor of Science degree from the State University of New York, Downstate Medical Center, and she holds a Master of Science degree in Health and Human Services from Dover Southeastern University. She holds a certification in Alzheimer's disease training from the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, as well as designation as a certified dementia practitioner from the National Council of Certified Dementia Practitioners. In 2017, she was awarded the Palm Beach County Medical Society Hero in Medicine Award for her education efforts. Karen's mentoring program for undergraduate and graduate nursing students has provided dementia-specific training for more than 700 100 students since 2014. In addition to co-authoring several poster presentations for annual conferences of the Gerontological Society of America, she has recently published Standard Routine Cognitive Screening, An Idea Whose Time Has Come. In her next article, Vulnerabilities of the Cognitively Impaired Patient in Acute and Post-Acute Care, will be published next month. So welcome back to the show, Karen. How are you?
Thank you. I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
So I, you know, you and I are good friends. We see each other often. We talk a lot. But you have become, you're on a mission, necessary mission, to deal with this massive problem we have in our failure to diagnose Alzheimer's and related dementias early. And your perspective, I'm not going to answer my own question, your perspective is this is not just a science problem. This is bigger than a science problem.
No, it seems to be a virtual blind spot in our current healthcare practices. We need to be mindful, first of all, of the extraordinary prevalence of Alzheimer's disease. Let's talk about here in Florida, where we have over 550,000 known cases. And the problem there is many patients are demonstrating emerging symptoms, but they are, in essence, under the radar. No one has identified those symptoms, and by the time they are identified, that patient is in middle stage, and we have nothing for them medically at this time. I'll get back to that in a moment. Those 550-plus thousand patients also have about 550,000-plus caregivers. So well over a million people who are seriously impacted by the devastation of this cognitive impairment that is progressing. And one of the reasons, and I can certainly speak for Alzheimer's community care, by the time a family calls us, they will tell us that they have identified symptoms back up to 8 years.
Right.
And many of them, you know, looking back now, they can say this is when changes occurred.
We hear that all the time.
Right? And they've had nothing. Many of them have had no diagnosis. Or they will say that they were told that their loved one has dementia, which only refers to a set of symptoms and does not really give a diagnosis for what's going on. And the problem there is that many who demonstrate symptoms of dementia, which are basically twofold. On one hand, the memory loss, which is that obvious symptom. But then there's also a failure of some executive function, things like preparing a meal, paying bills, programming the washing machine, driving, initiating a phone call to get a service. These are executive functions. When that fails, accompanied by memory failure, now we say we've got symptoms of dementia. But often those symptoms are treatable,
right?
Regardless of age. And this is where people are often missed. So something that could have been treatable if it was dealt with early may now have evolved into this cascade, into irreversible progressive decline. And some examples of some of these treatable conditions, clinical depression.
Right.
Which primary care can screen for. Now, screening tools are not diagnostic. They're just screening tools. But if you get a positive screen, it's a reason to look further and then treat that if it indeed turns out to be clinical depression. Early infections, things like urinary tract or pneumonia, very common as we get older. They don't always have the traditional symptoms you might look for, like fever.
Right.
And so they may be missed in that early treatable stage. Dehydration, malnutrition, electrolyte imbalance, easily treated. Underactive thyroid, also very common in men and women as we age. Easily treatable, but can mimic symptoms of dementia if untreated. Vitamin B12. I will always ask in a community group, how many of you know your B12 level? And it's very, very few.
Yeah, nobody raises their hand.
I get a few. Yeah. A few years ago, I got none.
Nobody, right, right.
And if you ask, do you know if your B12 is being tested when you go for your annual physical? Most don't know. Over the age of 50, we are prone to be B12 deficient, where we have trouble holding on to the B12 from our diets. And a vegan of any age is quite likely to be B12 deficient because they're not eating animal products.
Right.
And so they may need supplementation. And B12 affects all your nerves. And what is your brain? A bundle of 100 billion nerve cells.
Right.
And so it's critical that that be addressed, and it's very simple to address B12 deficiency. And ironically, long-term B12 deficiency actually will put you at risk for Alzheimer's disease. So it's important that that be treated. Poorly controlled blood sugar, if somebody is diabetic and they're really not in good control, can mimic symptoms of dementia, but easily treatable. Brain tumors, benign or malignant, have been successfully treated and took care of those symptoms of dementia. Exposure to chemicals, things like pesticides, cleaning chemicals, gardening chemicals, these are things that can produce symptoms of dementia if there's exposure. Menopause, women in their 50s have been misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's when what they had was hormone imbalance of menopause, again, can be treated. And what about medications?
Right.
Do we take too many prescriptions?
Well, of course, the answer is we all take too many medications.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
And so what we say is every year when you go for your physical, or certainly in between, if you're having any kind of symptoms, bring everything with you to the physician, not a list. You need all of the information that's on those labels. Bring everything. And do you bring just the prescriptions? No. You need to bring the over-the-counter medications you're taking and any supplements. There can be interactions and side effects that are combining to actually produce symptoms of dementia.
And we're going to talk about this, obviously, over the next hour. But I know that you and I have talked about this over the years, and you've been talking about this a long time. But this became even more obvious or apparent to you, or a more light bulb moment when you were doing your thesis, your doctoral thesis, because you did a study where you tested a certain, and I'm going to ask you about it, but you tested a certain number of people, and a lot of people would have failed what would have been the cognitive assessment, but not nearly all of them had cognitive impairment that was not, in fact, treatable. Am I right?
Well, we don't know until you look further.
Right.
What was stunning about this was in screening a total of 218 patients in two primary care practices, 20% of them were unable to successfully complete a brief screening tool. And the one we use is the brief interview for mental status. And the reason we use that tool is because it's the screening tool mandated by the federal government for patients in rehab settings or for those who actually live in skilled nursing facilities. So this is a measure that the federal government understands.
It's widely accepted.
Medicare, Medicaid, right. It's been studied. There's no perfect cognitive screening tool. Everyone agrees on that. But again, since it is a standard for 1.5 million patients in 16,000 skilled facilities coast to coast, it's very reasonable to use that measure. 20% of those screened could not get the full 15 points on that extremely simple, quick screening tool. Now, again, screening tools are not diagnostic. They're just screening tools. So some of those who could not complete it, and by the way, several of those who scored as moderately impaired on that screening tool were under 64 years of age, actually between 50 and 64. And so where we often think that, well, Alzheimer's only affects those over 65, there are other conditions other than Alzheimer's that can produce irreversible decline at a far younger age.
Right.
And of course, there are the treatable causes. So when you get a positive screen, you get someone that scores as impaired, it makes you look what might be treatable in this range of things that could be happening with this person. Let's do the complete blood work. Let's do that screen for depression. Let's check that B12, so on and so forth. Even so far as doing a CAT scan or an MRI to see if there is a brain lesion or a brain tumor. You're looking for all those potential treatable reasons. In some people, it could be a very simple, innocent explanation. They didn't sleep last night.
Right.
Or they had something very emotionally upsetting something happen, and they literally can't think straight that morning.
They could be hungover.
It could be. So the point is, it makes you look, and right. that's what's important. Even with moderate impairment, a person can get through that brief primary care visit with no one noticing.
No, and that's so true. So of the 40-plus people that tested, mm-hmm. right, that failed the test of that 200 and some odd people in your study, how many were not Alzheimer's and dementia-related?
Well, only three had a known diagnosis.
Is that amazing?
Only three.
That's stunning.
It is. And so the others were going to then proceed through this analysis. Did they have a treatable cause, or was there something else going on? So here's something that we know that is so critical to absorb and really pay attention to. We've known about Alzheimer's disease now for 114 years.
Right.
Now, of course, serious research only ramped up in the last few decades. But we remain today with no cure and no substantive disease-modifying treatment.
And I think that's critical. And again, we have a lot of time. We're going to go through all of those. The reality is that we're kind of dealing with two crises here. We're dealing with a crisis of fear, right?
Yes.
Nobody wants to investigate this. You know, when you say, as you did, that most of the people who are you come in contact with who are now in mid-stage, and everybody in hindsight can go back 8 or 10 years and see early warning signs. The reason that nobody did any investigation was not because they didn't recognize it. They probably did. They just were afraid that it was what it was, right?
Or they believed that those are normal age-related changes.
Which was where I was going next,
exactly.
Right? Exactly.
And that is not normal. We don't want to say, well, he's getting older, she's getting older. That is not acceptable. When someone has these demonstrative changes, the memory loss and the failure of executive function, that is the time to act at the earliest possible moment.
And there are things that we can do. There are some things, certainly a proper workup is the first place to start.
Absolutely, because again, there's one thing we know. Once we're middle stage and later, we have nothing. We have no cure. We have no disease-modifying treatment. The newest medication you see on TV, and again, we talk about Alzheimer's so much because it is the most prevalent.
Right.
About 70% of people with an irreversible condition will be of the Alzheimer's type. But there's also Lewy body disease. There's the effect of vascular damage after a stroke. There's head trauma. There are some genetic causes like Huntington's disease and Down syndrome. So there are different reasons, but Alzheimer's is the most common cause. And when we don't find those early signs with no cure and no treatment, we've got to be thinking about what can we attack very early. And research now is hopeful that if they can get patients early, they can have a better result because there is more viable brain cell volume. Once we get to middle and late stage disease, there's been so much loss that recovery is really not likely.
So we can, if we address this in a timely fashion, we do have the ability to impact the progression of the disease.
That is the belief. If we can get
right.
people earlier, there's enough plasticity, there's enough functional brain that with an individualized approach, they could actually do better.
The other thing I talked about too, fear. The fear is of diagnosis. The other, not fear, but tragedy, is that there is massive amounts of misinformation out there. There's massive amount of confusion. Everybody thinks there is, a cure on the horizon, which you and I know is not true. Excuse me. And also, there's a lot of snake oil out there. And we're going to talk mm-hmm. about all of that. If you just tuned in tonight, this, of course, is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care. Karen is a longtime friend, but more importantly, she is an amazing advocate for those people who are dealing with Alzheimer's disease. And when I say those people dealing with Alzheimer's disease, not just people afflicted, she's a caregiver advocate. She's a professional caregiver advocate and a trainer of those who come in contact. Karen is an extraordinary believer in the more you know, the better the pathway will be. And we're going to talk a lot more to Karen as the show unfolds. But if you have any questions for her or for me, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us tonight. If you're listening on 95.9, we're thrilled that you're here in the Palm Beaches on the Treasure Coast, 106.9. If you're a regular listener, we're glad that you stick with us each week. If you're new, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom talks about issues that confront boomers and their parents here every Monday night live from 6 to 7. And tonight we are talking about Alzheimer's disease. And we're talking really about the early detection of Alzheimer's disease and the reason why we should be. And we are doing that with my guest, Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care, who is here to help us understand why it is so important that we understand that a lot of the things that cause us to think we might have some form of dementia, and we're going to talk about that in a second, might, in fact, be 100% curable. And I know we were started down the medication path before I so rudely interrupted you.
Quite all right.
But I know we wanted to finish the thought there.
Well, I just wouldn't want anyone to be misled that there's a medication that can make a real difference. A recent medication, Nemzaric, is actually just a combination of two old medications that we've had for quite some time, Aricept and Namenda. They've been put together in one pill. So my point there is their effectiveness is questionable. And one of the reasons is we just get people too late. And it's also one of the reasons that the clinical trial, hundreds and hundreds of clinical trials, have not been successful. Often that conclusion is we're just getting people too late. So the theory now is if we can get people early, an early stage can be very short. And if you miss it, that's lost opportunity. When there is still enough functioning brain and we can intervene and challenge that brain to keep working and maximize. Unfortunately, again, most are diagnosed middle stage. And one of the reasons is we do not have a proactive approach in our healthcare system. Most of us as adults, when we go for our annual physical, we're asked a few questions. Women are asked, did you have your mammogram? Did you have your pap test? We're all asked, have we scheduled our colonoscopy when it's next due? Have we had our skin check because of the risk of melanoma? Not many are asked what they're doing for their brain.
Right. No, that's so true. And the truth of the matter is, because we're afraid for that, and across the spectrum, we miss the opportunity to find things that could be addressed really early. And I want to reiterate to people who don't fully understand this, that dementia itself is not a diagnosis. There are many, many dementias, if you think of dementia as ice cream, right? Lots of flavors of ice cream. But there are reversible dementias, as you have already articulated in the first segment tonight. But that is why being proactive instead of reactive is so important, right?
Absolutely. And we should not be afraid to be screened. We hope that cognitive screening will become routine and it will become standard. No matter what medical practice you go into, your blood pressure is taken in a standard way. Your pulse, your temperature. They count how many times you breathe each minute. They will ask you if you have pain. And if so, how would you rate your pain on a scale of 0 to 10? We hope that the cognitive screening becomes just as routine. And Alzheimer's Community Care is advancing this notion of cognition as the sixth vital sign. Those five we mentioned, pulse, blood pressure, temperature, respirations, pain, and cognition. Because this way you can see changes. If you're getting screened every year and you pass that screening test, and then all of a sudden one year you come in and you do not, that's an automatic trigger for that physician or nurse practitioner to start looking for potential treatable reasons. Should they not find any, or if they treat a treatable reason but your cognition still doesn't improve, you should be immediately referred to a neurologist that specializes in Alzheimer's and related disorders. That's the hope of getting someone early. But because we don't screen, we miss that opportunity.
You know, and we have not talked about this in preparation for tonight, but you just said something that is so, so, so important, and that is a neurologist who specializes in memory and cognitive disorder.
Yes.
Not all do. Getting to the right person is so critical, am I right?
That's right. It's it's similar to if you needed a total knee replacement, you're probably not going to the surgeon that specializes in total shoulders.
Right.
They're both orthopedics, but you need a specialty and that's where you're going. And there are neurologists that specialize in conditions such as diabetic neuropathy or nerve injury from some type of accident. That is different from the neurologist that is focusing on neurocognitive decline. Neurocognitive disorders. Absolutely.
And to reiterate, even though I know that we've already said this a few times, and not all signs of dementia are things to be worried about, right? I mean, you use an analogy with a cough, right?
Well, yes, this is a great analogy. If you were coughing and it was really bothering you after a few days and you went to your physician and he or she said to you, I diagnose you with coughing, you would say that's just a symptom. I came here to find out why. It could be something innocent like a cold, an allergy, asthma, bronchitis, treatable conditions, or heaven forbid, it could be that extreme of lung cancer. But you're there early and you want to know because whatever it is, intervening early is better.
Right.
In that same thought process, dementia is a symptom, and it could be happening. Those symptoms could be manifested for many different reasons, many of which can be treatable. Sleep disturbance. I have spoken to so many people who say, yeah, I keep my cell phone on my nightstand. That's a problem.
Right.
These things can interrupt sleep, electronics. So sleep hygiene is one approach that can really start to help some people who are having trouble focusing during the day. There's an entire list of lifestyles that I think we'll talk about
right,
a little bit later.
Yep, absolutely.
And getting that quality sleep is one of those. But no one should be afraid to be screened. There isn't one disease that I can think of, and I've challenged groups when I've been presenting to give me a disease for which we do better when we wait until it is serious.
And we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care. She is the Vice President of Education and Quality Assurance, and she is both educating us and doing it with quality as we are here tonight. We're thrilled that you're with us. If you're a regular, you know that we're here every Monday at 6 o'clock. If you're new, Oh, My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom is a show about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight we're talking about Alzheimer's. We're going to tell you about the next couple of weeks in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you have questions for Karen or for me about Alzheimer's and dementia, don't be afraid to call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert is the Vice President of Education and Quality Assurance for Alzheimer's Community Care. She is one of, if not the leading authority on Alzheimer's and related dementias at various different levels. And she is giving us some really important information tonight from the perspective of why we need to discover this early and why we don't, because we are afraid, and so we don't. But Karen, you have interesting analogies of where the fear of early diagnosis was so overstated and that it actually has turned out to be life-saving.
Right, and I will hope that we eventually apply this to brain health. Let's think back a few decades to when mammograms were first being proposed. I remember, because I'm in that age group, many were afraid to get a mammogram. They were afraid a cancer would be found. Now, when mammogram was widely accepted, the numbers of breast cancer diagnoses did go up. It doesn't mean there was more. It meant that we were finding it, and we were finding it at a very early and highly treatable stage. And we know life expectancy after a breast cancer diagnosis has so vastly improved, as it has for many other conditions. Prostate cancer for men. When I started out as a nurse in 1975, that it was not a good prognosis.
Right.
For any gentleman that came right to our operating room, that story has completely changed. And why does it change? Because of screening and early intervention. We are doing far better these days with diabetes, with earlier diagnosis, with problems in cholesterol levels. We're doing much better because we're attacking that earlier. Blood pressure, same thing. We need to apply that same thing to the brain. And I think the most dramatic example of the last 30 or 40 years is HIV. HIV was a universal killer. Initially, we didn't even know what it was that was causing this disease. And once we identified the virus and understood how it was transmitted, we mobilized with education, with screening. It was confidential, anonymous screening, so people would come and get screened because then they could get treated early. And that whole spectrum has changed now, where someone can live a normal lifespan with HIV versus that universal killer status that that virus had back in the late 70s and 80s. And so I don't think there's any question that that type of proactive approach works. And we want to get education out there. We want people to be motivated to be screened because the hope is acting early. There have been clinical trials. The pathology of Alzheimer's is abnormalities in amyloid and tau proteins in the brain. So one theory was if you can clear out those clumps of amyloid that accumulate, they will improve. There were clinical trials that successfully cleared the amyloid, but the patients didn't get better
right
because there was already so much loss of brain function right and brain tissue because they got to the clinical trial too late.
Right.
And so we've got to turn this around. We have to motivate people to want to be screened and not be afraid of being screened.
So how do we inspire that? How do we inspire that change? What can we do?
I think by, again, reinforcing all of these other conditions for which we've done so much better because we have adopted that concept of, well, it's two concepts, actually. Primary prevention is everything that you do to reduce your risk of getting a disease or having an accident. Wearing right your seatbelt in your car is primary prevention. Not smoking, primary prevention for heart disease and lung disease and so on. So we now know that Alzheimer's is not caused by any one thing. It may be influenced by genetics, but that's just an influence.
Right.
It does not mean you are destined to develop Alzheimer's. And many of the researchers now believe that lifestyle choices have a far greater impact than genetics. And so there's a whole range of things we could be doing. Of course, again, smoking is one. Getting adequate, good quality sleep that we talked about. Right. A dark room, a cold room, no electronics on the nightstand, avoiding alcohol or caffeine after midday because that will interrupt sleep. The Mediterranean diet is universally accepted as being a preventive diet, not only for the brain, but also for heart disease.
Right.
And these are things you can readily find on the internet. Mediterranean diet emphasizes plants, fruits, vegetables, extra virgin olive oil, and fish. Fish that are high in omega-3s, like tuna and salmon.
Salmon, right?
Yes, absolutely. Physical activity, 2.5 hours a week. And it could be in 10-minute spurts, and walking is just fine. Challenging yourself to keep learning, very important, particularly for those who retire and need to stay engaged. Maintaining active social contacts. The risk of social isolation as a determinant for Alzheimer's is now being given a lot of attention. So staying socially active, very, very important. Responding to stress in a healthier way. I think that's something we really need to take advantage of. We can't necessarily change those things that stress us, but we can change the way we respond. And that's very powerful.
So putting a hole in the wall is probably not
good. Maybe not good for your fists. But, you know, I gave an example today with a community group. If you use a certain store in your neighborhood and there's someone there that's never nice to you, do you think you can change that person? And they said, no. I said, well, what can you do? They said, we could go to a different store. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And that's responding to stress in a healthier way. Of course, reducing the risk of head trauma, wearing your seatbelt, wearing a helmet if you bike ride or motorcycle ride. And these are a few that are really fun to do. Using your non-dominant hand. If you are right-handed, it's the left side of your brain that's more active and developed. And vice versa if you're left-handed. So if you switch it up, you're actually challenging the other half of the brain to work. You know, one of the things I say is if you want to work your biceps, you can lift weights. If you want to work your legs, you can bike, you can walk, and so on. You have to think of ways that you work out your brain.
That's amazing. That's interesting.
We now know dental health, not cause and effect, but they've identified an association between oral bacteria and the development of Alzheimer's. And so the recommendation is never skip those dental cleanings at least twice a year and floss every day.
That's amazing.
That's some new information.
That is new. I didn't know that. If you are just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. And I am here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert. Karen is the Vice President of Education and Quality Assurance at Alzheimer's Community Care. She's a leading expert in our area on early diagnosis, on Alzheimer's, and on education. And we're going to talk about some of the educational activities that she is involved in with the upcoming Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference. We're not going to spend a great deal of time on that because right before that, we're going to do another show on that conference. But I do want everybody to get it on their calendar, and we're going to do that. So this is Scott Greenberg. We are here every week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Every Monday night from 6 to 7. We still have some time. So if you have a question for Karen and you want to call us, you can. 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
So many things in life get better with age. Just ask anyone who's become a grandparent. But the stress that comes from managing all the details of a home downsizing or move to assisted living is definitely not on the list. I'm Dan Ligani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand, safe living and home solutions company. When it's time for you or a family member to downsize or relocate to an assisted living community, call us at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE, or visit us at silversolutions.com. For over a decade, we've handled every type of downsizing or relocation, from local to national. Let us handle every detail of your move from beginning to end. We'll even help you dissolve your current home or apartment. Call us now at 1-877-AGE-SAFE or visit us at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions. We make growing older easier and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care, and we have been talking about the importance of early diagnosis, early detection, early awareness of signs of dementia, because not all signs are, in fact, Alzheimer's, nor are they critically serious. They might, in fact, be reversible. But you had a couple of other examples of primary
Primary prevention. Right. Again, all the things you can do, the diet, not smoking, getting adequate sleep, and staying socially active, and so on. Two more include finding a way to do what we call resetting your mindset, even if it's just 5 minutes out of the day, to not be tuned in. No radio, no TV, no cell phone, just 5 minutes of quiet, which essentially would be 5 minutes of meditation.
Meditation's a very hot-button topic today, right?
And believed to be very protective for the brain. So those who can go to a longer class, a yoga class is very effective at this, that's great. But even 5 minutes a day of just taking that quiet with no inputs, and just being in that moment, in those 5 minutes, is very, very important. And lastly, I want to mention addressing hearing loss. Long-term dramatic hearing loss can actually be a risk factor for developing Alzheimer's. And so if you think you're having issues with hearing, again, address it early. Do not wait.
How important is family history?
Family history is critically important. When the neurologists are trying to ascertain what's going on, and by the way, there's no rule that says you can get just one disease. There have been people with Alzheimer's and Lewy body disease, Alzheimer's and vascular damage from a prior stroke, Alzheimer's and alcoholism. There are those who have multiple dynamics. So it is a challenge for those neurologists, but one of the most important things they need is that history. If the patient can convey the history of how things are changing, and often they can, that's very important, but it's also very important to get the viewpoint of the family members. that have been around this patient. And then that helps that neurologist to put all the pieces together. And they will tell you, they cannot be 100% certain because they're not actually doing a biopsy of the brain tissue. But they can get pretty close to 100% when they put all of these things together. Of course, with the other laboratory and imaging studies that they would do to make a final determination.
We have to be really careful that when we talk about the family history being so important, as you just have, we also have to be careful not to make people afraid that it is hereditary.
That's right.
They're not the same. The conversation is not the same.
Not the same. Genetics plays a role. The genes that you inherit may put you at greater risk for Alzheimer's. But again, many of our researchers believe those lifestyle choices can overcome what you've inherited. There are people without the gene that puts you at greater risk that get Alzheimer's, and vice versa, many with that gene that never will get Alzheimer's. So that should not be your thought process. Family history is important to convey, but it's just one piece. There's an awful lot that you can control in that primary prevention realm. And then every year when you have your physical, or more often if you suddenly have a concern, that's your secondary prevention. That's the screening. So on a secondary level, they can catch something early.
So if you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm talking tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert, who clearly is an expert on Alzheimer's and dementia. She's also the vice president of education and quality assurance. And one of the things that for Alzheimer's community care. And one of the things I have been remiss tonight in doing is talking about Alzheimer's community care. And I also have not talked about the upcoming conference. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you all that there is a movie, a free movie, When All That's Left Is Love. It's about end stages of Alzheimer's disease and a family's travel down, or their journey down that road. It's a very powerful movie. It's a documentary. It's one, I don't know, somewhere in the 25 or 30 film critics awards. It's been very, very successful. We're going to be showing that on Monday, March 2nd, 2 o'clock at Ruth Rails, the Weissman Center, right on Atlantic Avenue between Hagen Ranch and Jog. It's free. You're all invited. There'll be a panel discussion after that, and I encourage you to come next Monday, 2 o'clock. If you tuned in late to this show and you're sorry that you missed the beginning, the good news is you don't have to, because we podcast it. It'll be up and running tomorrow. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm Getting, and up we will pop for this show and for any of the others. If podcasting is not your thing, but you still want to listen to it, we put it up on our website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. Don't do that. Comfort Care, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. If you're a regular listener, but sometimes life gets in the way, you can listen to us anyway, wherever you are, because you can listen on iHeartRadio. All you have to do is find True Oldies 95.9 in the Palm Beaches. And, of course, you can listen on your smartphone or anywhere else, because we simulcast TrueOldiesFLA.com. You can listen to us live wherever you are. Next week, Desiree Mearns is going to be here. Desiree is the leader, head, director. I don't know what her title is, but she's at Shine. And what she is going to tell us is that this year, there may be the opportunity for you to reverse your selection during open enrollment for Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Not many people understand that this is there, but this is a one-time shot at a second bite at the apple. And Desiree is going to talk to us about Medicare Advantage and the possibility that you may, in fact, be able to reverse the decision that you just made during open enrollment last year. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a guest that come back, and we're going to talk about the Electoral College. We're going to go in an entirely different direction. We're going to talk about U.S. history with one of the most knowledgeable guys I ever met. David Hirschberg is going to be here. He was here about a year and a half ago. Wonderful guy, very knowledgeable. The Electoral College and the Supreme Court. who could possibly think that might be important at this time in our lives? I promise you we're going to have a spirited and interesting conversation with David Hirschberg in 2 weeks. But in the few minutes I have left, I'm still with Dr. Karen Gilbert. Karen, why don't you tell us about Alzheimer's Community Care? Because I don't think everybody knows what Alzheimer's Community Care does and how helpful you are in the community.
Thank you. We are in our 24th year. We serve Palm Beach, Martin, and St. Lucie counties. And what we have is a program that actually places a safety net around that entire family. Every family gets to initially meet with one of our nurses. They're called family nurse consultants. And that's a service that's provided at no charge to the family, which is really amazing. There is no financial barrier. It's a grant-funded service. Families are only investing their time, and we can help them start navigating. And as I alluded to earlier, many of them are well into the disease process, and we are the first people that they've reached out to.
Right.
So they need a tremendous amount of help. We have specialized adult day centers in the three counties. We have a total of 11 of them. So for a loved one who is middle stage disease or later, cannot be home alone, or even if the caregiver does not work, they need to be engaged all day or they'll decline even faster.
Right.
So they can attend our day centers and we work them all day. They have cognitive challenges, physical challenges. They build crafts. They sing and dance. They're just amazing. And we're always introducing new innovations to the day center.
And the family nurse consultants are invaluable. You have an 800 line that's 24 hours a day.
We have an 800 crisis line for those that need urgent assistance after hours. It's 800-394-1771. There is always a family nurse consultant that can be accessed anytime other than the regular office hours, which are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. We provide the ID locator bracelet for those at risk to wander. 60 to 70% of patients will wander away from a supervised setting at some point in the disease. We have served over 900 people with those bracelets in the last 7 years. Many of them have had episodes where they left home unsupervised on foot. Not one has ever been injured in any way. They've all been found extremely quickly by law enforcement because they were wearing that bracelet.
And speed is of the essence in that
Absolutely.
Scenario. There's no substitution. Right?
It's been a 100% successful program, an incredible lifesaver, and because of grants, we can provide that free of charge to the family as well.
And the day centers are not free, but they're reasonable, and they take long-term care insurance.
They are, and long-term care, veterans of active service are covered by the VA. Those with Medicaid, we serve all the managed Medicaid plans. And then for those with other needs not able to access those programs, we do have some scholarships and grants.
Right.
Some have a minimal copay of $1 a day. So they really should investigate if the day center is needed, and we can help them access funding where that's needed.
And every time you see Silver Alert, think of Alzheimer's Community Care. They were instrumental in that being coming to pass. Now, you also have an educational conference coming up in May, which is really, really critical to anybody dealing with the disease, particularly for family caregivers. Give us the details.
It is Wednesday, May 13th. It will be held at the PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, so right opposite the Turnpike entrance on PGA Boulevard, or just about a mile or so from I-95, so very easy to get to. We have an amazing array of speakers, and Scott, you are one of them.
Thank you.
In one of our breakout sessions, which will be phenomenal, we have nationally and internationally known experts speaking at the conference as well. And all speakers at this conference were given the directive, you have to tell us how your presentation will influence change, because the status quo is not working. no cure, no treatment. None of that is changing anything. And so we have an amazing array of experts in different fields who are all talking about ways in which we can influence change and make something different as we go forward.
You know, I talk often about this, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart. You know, I've been close to Alzheimer's community care for, I don't know, going on 10 or 11 years now. What most people don't understand is while there is a tremendous amount of research, and we need research, we really need research, we need to find a cure, we're not anywhere really all that close. But while we're waiting for that, we need to take care of people on the street. We need to be taking care of people who are struggling with this disease. We need to take care of families. We need to do whatever we can to make this journey the best it possibly can be, because it is a tough journey, all right? And I say this with the utmost admiration. Nobody does a finer job in providing services to families and to people in need with Alzheimer's disease than does Alzheimer's Community Care. And so I can't thank you enough again for agreeing to come on the show and imparting this unbelievable amount of information. You are understandably one of my very favorite guests, and that's because you've earned that, because I never leave here that I haven't learned something, and I did tonight.
Well, it takes all of us working together to make a difference.
It does. So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Every Monday night, 6 to 7, dealing with issues that confront boomers and their parents. None more serious than, of course, Alzheimer's and dementia-related diseases, as we talked about tonight. Just as important maybe for you is your election for insurance, and we're going to talk about that next week with Desiree Mearns from the SHINE program at Alzheimer's Community, at the Area Agency on Aging. In the meantime, I hope you all have a great week. Stay safe. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. See you next week. Good night, all.